Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I ask you to reveal to us the truth of the Word of God today as we continue to talk about our enemy, the devil and his demons, and how the demons, what they are like, and how they inflict us, and how they indwell us, and how they live within us, and how they torment us, and how we can get rid of them. And so, Lord, I ask you to reveal the truth of the Word of God to us as we read and study your Word today. And we want to worship you and praise you and thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now then, give us revelation. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding. Give us knowledge. And may Satan not steal one single word out of our mind or our heart today. And Satan, I rebuke you and I command you not to steal words out of the minds and the hearts of the believers in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, I ask you by the Holy Spirit to lock in these words to us that we may learn who we are and what we can do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Now today I'm going to discuss with you some cases from the Word of God where some of the men that walked with Christ during his 3 years here on earth, some of his disciples, some of the men that were apostles that had demonic activity working in their life. Now I know that today it is commonly taught what little teaching there is about demons. It's that a Christian cannot have a demon. But I'm going to tell you that's not true. I'm going to tell you you can have a demon, and I'm going to tell you when you sin or when you have the wrong thoughts, you open a door to the demonic world, and Satan and his host of demons, he sends them to you, and they come to torment you. Now, in my life, I have had many experiences. I have much revelation from the Lord himself about my own self. When I have had demons that have caused a problem or a sickness or a disease with me, and the Lord has revealed to me what it was, and when I made sure the sin was confessed and drove out the demon, my source of my sickness and disease was gone. Now, I am a Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-walking Son of God that's walked in the gifts of the Spirit, that have cast out demons, healed the sick, and seen the Lord do great and mighty things in the area of deliverance. So now then, as I have seen God do all these wonderful things, I'm going to tell you that if it shocked me myself the first time years ago when the Lord told me that I had a demon living in my physical body. But I listened to what he said. Now I'm telling you, I heard an audible voice of God as I was reading this scripture one night over there in Luke, about where the woman had the spirit of infirmity. The Lord literally spoke to me and told me I had one of those living in my physical body. And when I asked him, I said, Lord, what is it? He said, that spirit of infirmity that's living in you is your athlete's foot. Now then, I was startled. I said, Lord, athlete's foot is a spirit or a demon? And he said, yes, son. And in my name, you have authority over it. So I'd only had this problem about 40 years of my life. So I stopped right there and exercised my authority as a man of God and commanded that spirit of infirmity, that spirit of athlete's foot, to come out of my feet and go to the pit of hell and to never return in the name of Jesus. And I don't know how many years ago that's been, 12 or 15, I guess, but I had never been without a case of athlete's foot since I'd been a young teenager until that night. And from that night to this, I have never had another case of it. So I have learned lots of things and many things from the Lord in the area of demons and how they work, and that you and me can most definitely have a demon. And so I cast it out of myself in the name of Jesus and was set free. But today I'm going to give you some examples from the Word of God itself as to how these demons work in a human being. Now I'm going to tell you this story I'm going to read today. I'm going to have a couple of places here in the Word of God. I'm going to talk in Matthew and Luke, and this is going to be Peter. We're going to talk about Peter. He was one of the disciples, and it's amazing how we read this, but we don't get what it's saying. But I'm telling you, the time had come when it was necessary for the Lord Jesus to prepare his disciples for the tragic events that were about to take place in fulfillment of the divine and eternal plan for him and for all of humanity. Now, consequently, Christ began to reveal that it was imperative that he go up to Jerusalem to suffer, to die, and rise again on the third day. Now, Peter, our bold and indiscreet as usual disciple, took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, according to this, the word of God. In fact, let me just read that to you here in Matthew 16. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But look what Jesus did in verse 24. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, Peter absolutely sought to activate in Christ the instinct of self-preservation so that by all means he would avoid having to go to the cross to give his life a propitiation for the sins of all mankind. But look what Jesus did. Immediately, Jesus discerned that in Peter operated a spirit that opposed the realization of God's purpose for the human race. Without any hesitation or forbearance, he turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. The word offense in the King James can be translated a hindrance, or a stumbling block, or a snare. Now then, just think. Evidently, Satan had access to Peter's mind and mouth, and at that very moment, he was using him to speak to Jesus in the and stop the fulfillment of the plan of redemption. Why and how could Satan take and use Peter so easily that he might become unconsciously his instrument in trying to prevent Christ from fulfilling his divine mission? Let us remember that hours or days before Peter had been used by the Holy Spirit to make known one of the most wonderful revelations of the Holy Spirit, the divinity of Christ Jesus. Because just a few verses back in Matthew 16, verses 13 to 19, he had told us this. Now, could it be possible that Peter misinterpreted the words of Christ? You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, as so many have down through the centuries, and that as a result he began to think himself superior to the rest of the disciples? Now, if this is true, it is not strange that pride or arrogance would have opened the door to a demonic manifestation in his heart and life. Now, in a similar way, many of us have been attacked by the enemy, who with his customary cunningness has sought many times to awaken within us self-pity, causing us to think that no one really loves us or understands us, and we feel lonely and get depressed, and we end up being easy prey to his schemes. This could even provoke in us certain emotional or mental disturbances that could have fatal consequences, including insanity and suicide. Now, I'm telling you, the devil is out there, and that beast is working on you day and night. So you better be very careful, because if he can take control of Peter's mind and Peter's tongue and speak through him, and Jesus clearly said, Satan, get behind me. Now, if he can do that to Peter, he can do that to you. So don't entertain the wrong thoughts. I'm telling you, the devil will do it to you anytime he gets a chance. Let's look at another example here in the Word of God where Peter had a problem. And we're going to discuss this. This is in Luke 22, But listen to what the Lord says there. The night that he was betrayed, Jesus Christ, after having celebrated the Passover with his disciples, made them a serious and solemn warning that all of them would be scandalized and scattered. Now, Peter, trusting in himself, now think about this. Think about what Peter said. He replied, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Now, with these words, he revealed a certain type of pride and self-sufficiency, for it is quite evident that he believed he was stronger and braver than the rest of the disciples. Now, his intentions were absolutely praiseworthy. But Peter's problem, which is common to most men, is that he didn't know himself very well. "I am ready to go with you both into prison and to death." And this is what Peter said, "I will lay down my life for your sake," and he was sure that he would never, never deny or betray his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet, Christ warned him that that same night he was going to be subjected to a terrible test, and that before sunrise he would deny him three times. Now, Jesus knew by divine revelation that Satan had appeared before God's throne to ask permission to sift Peter as wheat. Because this is found in Luke 22:31. Now, I'm going to read this to you. In Luke 22:31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now then, as he's going to sift him like wheat, this sieve was an instrument used in agriculture to separate the wheat from the chaff and from other waste materials in order to leave the grain clean enough to be taken to the mill to be converted into flour. Now, Peter, as well as the rest of the disciples, was going to come under a heavy oppression of the enemy. They just didn't know it. Now, the power of darkness was going to rule supreme for several hours. God was going to allow Satan to treat Peter in a very cruel manner. This process was necessary to separate the wheat or the spirit from the chaff or the flesh. Now, according to Matthew 26 and Luke 22, Peter, under the influence of Satan and his evil spirits, did several things that night that he would never have done if he had been in full control of his spiritual and mental abilities. He fell into a deep sleep together with John and James, members of Christ's inner circle. The Lord reproached him for not being able to watch in prayer for one meager little hour. It was on this occasion when he quoted those memorable words, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Now then, he used the sword supposedly to defend his master. One lesson he had never learned is that in spiritual warfare, the carnal weapons are totally useless. Now then, we'll have to continue this tomorrow as we're out of time today. So whatever you do, praise the Lord Jesus Christ.